as well.
That's it.
Fabulous. Okay. Welcome, everybody, joining us live tonight for the Glow Live in the GGC Facebook group, and any of our lovely members joining us on the replay. I'm delighted tonight to be joined by Emma McElhinney, who is a GGC business member and also founder of Team EMW. And we are here tonight to be talking about things health and wellness, including weight loss, because this is something that we have been seeing more frequently in the group. It is summer, like, totally get it. It is a frequent topic in the group. So we wanted to talk to amazing business member Emma about how to go about weight loss, fat loss, but in a healthy way. So healthy body, healthy mind. And that's all that your business is about, Emma. So I want to read out this amazing this amazing bio for Emma. So she's the founder of Team EMW, rebel queenager and fun lover, a trailblazing perimenopausal and behaviour change specialist. Emma's mission is to transform women who feel marooned in monotony into their audacious, dazzling, ultimate badass selves. She's the queen of fat loss, behaviour change and mindset conditioning. So welcome, Emma.
Yay, that's so me. Absolutely love it. It took many, many rewrites to get to that place.
Well, I mean, it's awesome. And I think it actually describes you to an absolute T. So let's get a wee bit more into that description before we get into the kind of the main content of tonight's chat. Let's find out more about you and your story.
Right. So we want to get to the actual things that we're talking about, but I do have a tendency to go off in tangents here, so you can rein me back in. So I'm a perimenopause and behaviour change specialist, but I came into this world really quite late on in life, and that I realise that makes me sound like a granny, and I'm not a granny. I'm 45, so I'm in the throes of perimenopause myself. But I was working in corporate, and I had a really, really good job and a really, really good organisation. And I went back after maternity leave. Now, before getting married and have a baby, I was a pretty good party girl. Eating was cheating. Never really had to worry about my weight. I'd always been fair. Like, I had a lot of sports when I was younger. I was a track athlete, all that kind of stuff. But all through my 20s, I was just like, yep, let's just party our lives away. And it was all fine. Got pregnant, went back to work, and I was fat as fuck, right? I had gained so much weight through pregnancy. I'd had a horrible birth, like absolutely horrible, nearly died, kind of horrible. And when I went back to work, I came back this other version of me. So I was really uncomfortable in my own skin. I was always led a bit of an identity shift becoming a mum. I was not confident. I had lost all my self-esteem because I didn't know who I was. I'd lost my body. I'd almost lost my mind. And I just was not me. I was not a good wife. I was not being a good mum. I was not being a good boss. I was not being a good employee. I was not managing my stakeholders. I wasn't standing up for my team. All the usual stuff. And I was like, right, well, that's it. I'm going on a diet. And I went through all the high street diets. I'm not going to name names, but some of them refer to things as points and some refer to them as sins. I went through them, and it was actually an experience with one organization that said, well, you can eat all you want, pasta and rice and potatoes, and you're going to lose 100 of the weight, but you won't want to eat that much. And I'm like, ha, watch me, right? I love food, like love food, love eating, love the culture of food, love the whole social experience of food. So within a week, I'd gained half a stone. I was like, this is shit. This cannot be right, right? And like most offices, there's always somebody on a diet, right? And there's always other people egging each other on, going, oh, go on, just have the extremely chocolatey mini bite. No, just come out for a wine. And there's always that kind of culture of everybody wants to be the one that knocks somebody off their diet, right? There just seems to be this competitive urge. So anyway, I was like, right, this isn't for me. I can't do this. And I started studying, and I've got this. I found out recently that this is actually just part of my personality. But when I get something in my head, I want to learn as much as I can about it. So I went down that route with nutrition and went, all of this stuff, all these diet programs are utter nonsense. So I started doing some of these things that I was learning, and I lost 2 dress sizes in the space of just over 3 months. And I was like, right, if I'm working full time, I've got a baby, I'm traveling up and down to London for work, I'm going to India for work. If I can do this, then other people can do this. So that kind of got me going, So whilst I was in this corporate place, I was secretly studying the side, secretly studying my nutrition qualifications. And when the and I was like, right, okay, what am I going to do with this? It's great having the qualifications. What am I actually going to do? And I couldn't really figure it out. And then there was a lot of restructures happening. I was like, potentially. So eventually, opportunity came up to get my redundancy. I'd been there a long time, so I got quite a sweet sum. And I was like, right, that's it. I'm going to go and be a personal trainer. Right. So in this whole period of getting made redundant, I had to buy a house with a garage so I could kit it out as a studio and not tell the mortgage company that I was getting made redundant. So I started PTing people just when I'd finished up. I didn't need the money. I just wanted to get a learning hands-on with people. So I was doing personal training and I was like, this is not what these people need. Every single woman was coming to me. They were in their 30s, in their 40s. They all wanted to lose weight. So knowing what I knew then, I was like, this isn't what people need. Like an hour of exercise a week is great, but it's not going to get them to where they want to be. So that's when I started digging into the behavior change side of things. And that's just before, I was about 6 months before COVID, I was like, right, no, I'm focusing mainly on the nutrition and the behavior change, and I'm going online. So that's where we are now. And Team EMW, which is Team Eat Move Win, which is based on my maiden name initials, which I thought, I was like, that's quite clever.
meant to be.
And this was born. And since then, you know, having a focus on, right, helping people get to the outcome that they want in a really healthy, sustainable, realistic way, because you've seen it before, like all these, you can lose two dress sizes in 2 months. And yeah, you can, but they're great if you're single and you live the life of a monk and you don't like going out and you don't like people and you're just, all you want to do is just eat chicken, rice and broccoli. That's fine. But that's not real life. And the people that I work with tend to be mums, business owners, managers, you know, they've got stuff going on. So that was my goal, was to be able to create this methodology, which is Eat, Move and Win, to be able to help people get to that place without this horrible restriction, this horrible deprivation mindset that this kind of diet and culture has given us over the years. So now I'm in that place. I work with perimenopausal women. There's a lot more of the empowerment side that excites me. It's, you know, we get to this kind of, again, it's that identity shift of, oh my God, who am I? Like, I feel like meh. And there's no real, I've yet to find another way of describing that midlife meh. You know, it's just, so that's where we are. So that's
the midlife meh.
Midlife meh. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know, you said something there that really stood out to me about the kind of deprivation, because I know that's kind of through my journey with like diet and stuff. I've done all the yo-yo stuff. I remember you came along to a cafe and co-working recently and I had I had a shake on the desk and you were like, what the hell is that? And I was like, I'm just trying to speed things up before I go on holiday. Oh. It doesn't work. But so yeah, I think that when you're trying to get towards being healthy, and like I know that you stress this as well, it's not all about weight loss. It's about feeling great in yourself, you know, moving your body. You can be in that state of deprivation, like I'm not having that. And sometimes that just puts you in this cycle of then going for it and then having that. And I do it all the time. I'm like, I'm really good for a week and then something happens to me. I'm quite an emotional eater. Or am I really, if I'm tired, I just want sugar. So if I'm up all night with the wee one and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, well, that's me. Fucked it.
Throw it in the fucking
bucket again next month.
Yeah. And you know, that is probably, this kind of all or nothing approach is probably the most common thing that I deal with. And it's, you know, it's the women that I tend to work with, and you might get this, is, you know, they're used to doing things really well. They're used to controlling things, you know, having like their household run really well or their job run really well, their business run really well. And it's like quite typical type A personality control freakery. And I know that because I am it. And that's very much where I was. And when we get to a place where like, well, I'm going to just be really, really strict. And if I can do that, then I'll be absolutely sorted. But the thing with, you know, food isn't necessarily just about the food. It's what we are thinking and what we are, like what we use food for. So if you use food to soothe yourself emotionally, you're always going to do that unless you change how you think about food. And that needs to come before the getting the really strict part. So that's why we've got like a couple of hashtags like better, not best, and progress, not perfection. Because the minute you try and be perfect, it doesn't exist. It can't exist, especially if you've got young kids, especially if you're working long hours. And it's about, you know, doing things in a different way. And the deprivation part is a really good mindset topic, because the minute we think of a diet, we get, it's this kind of subconscious thing that happens where we go, oh shit, I'm not going to be able to have the cake or the crisps or the coffee or whatever, or the fun or the enjoyment. And that we start all these little like spheres buzzing about our head that are ultimately going to take us to the thing that we're trying to deprive ourselves of anyway. And there's a bit of a hormonal connection there as well. Like there's different hormones that are related to hunger and related to satisfaction. And the minute we start thinking diet, these hormones start going into overdrive that actually make us hungrier. So that's why it's important to do things differently. And that's why we've got more of a method of, we're going to have more every week. You're going to have to add in more food or more things, and you get to do more and start changing that mindset to have it more of a, as an abundance mindset rather than a scarcity mindset. And when you do that, that really can help that journey.
Wow, that is powerful, actually. And hearing what you're saying about the hormones, that's really unfair, isn't it? Very unfair.
Yeah, being a woman, honestly, about once a day, I question Mother Nature. And I'm like, so why exactly did you decide that our hormones were going to go absolutely batshit from about the age 38, but you also decided that our metabolism was going to slow down at the same time? Like, why would you do that?
Because she loves to challenge us and we can take it.
I know we can, like we absolutely can. And that's another thing as well, is, you know, we're of a generation now, the kind of generation before us, like perimenopause and hormones, they were all kind of, you're going through the change.
Yeah.
It was all very hush hush, and you had to put up and shut up. And, you know, it's just a fact of life that you're going to be overweight in your 40s. It's just, you know, and I still hear that from grannies and aunties and, you know, much older people. But I think the kind of empowering thing now is that, no, if you don't want that, you don't have to have it. You don't have to accept it. Like, your body might change, that's fine. Your weight might change, that's fine. But there's loads of things within our control to help us be healthier, so that long term we do live longer and we are more active. So it means that we're mobile for longer as well. And I think that's, we kind of miss that point of actually nutrition and movement are for to help us live longer and healthier, not just to feel amazing in a bikini. And that bit does help, like, you know, there's no getting away that some people do respond well to their body changing to help confidence.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's that the inner working is more important than the aesthetic, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
When it comes,
and that's
to
the thing, like, one of the things I always say to our clients and our members is that, see, if you look after the inputs and you do the inputs, the outcomes will happen. And, you know, it's quite common for us to be chasing a number on the scale that actually it's literally just a number. It might be a number that we remember that we weighed in our 20s, or, like, you know, I've still got it in my head that, you know, I should be 9'13". I am never going to be 9'13" again in my Nelly Puff, but it's a number that I've remembered as being, I was really lean there. I was also 17 and in the Club de Mar and Air every weekend, like, and drinking copious amounts of vodka. So, you know, I can change my body, I can lose dress sizes, but I'm probably never going to get to 9'13". But if I do the things, then the fat loss will come without constantly chasing the number, if that makes sense.
Fat loss will come and you'll feel healthy and be healthy. So, right, okay. So we did a wee exercise with the group and had a look at, there's obviously lots of questions in relation to kind of diet and exercise and health, and pulled out some of the key things that were cropping up all the time. If we go through those questions, we'll see if there's anyone...
I'm in mastermind. Like, oh.
Do-do-do-do. I don't even know if that's...
Specialist subject.
I'll get out my wee bits of paper. Okay, right. So something that comes up a lot, number one, Why can't I keep weight off? I keep losing and gaining the same stone or two stone.
Yes. So there's a lot of different reasons why that could be happening. The most common one is the all or nothingness that we talked about. So people go all in and they're going, right, I want to lose a stone and I'm going to not drink or eat or do anything. I'm just going to exercise and drink water and eat leaves and dust, right? And they get their stone off and then they go back to normal. And that's the problem. They go back to normal. So in order to keep weight off, we need to create a new normal. And that's why habit-based coaching is so imperative, because if we can change what we do subconsciously on a day-to-day basis, then that's us changing our inputs and we'll keep our new output as that change in weight that's sustained. So that's the most common reason why that happens. The other reason why it can happen is you do get, you know, on a given day, you know, I could weigh a certain weight one day and then the next day I can be 5 or 6 pounds heavier just because of hormone fluctuations, just because of the time of day that I've eaten, or, you know, whether I need a pee or whether my digestive system's doing. So, and if we stand on the scales the next day and we've gained 6 or 7 pounds, there's that automatic, oh, well, it's not working.
Yeah.
And we tend to eat really carb rich foods when we're trying to, you know, satisfy an emotion. It tends to be like high sugar, which is like carbohydrate. And carbohydrates, this is why, oh God, this is a whole other topic. But the way carbohydrates work is when you consume carbohydrates, your cells fill with fluid. So your cells have more volume. Therefore, your cells are going to weigh more. So when you tend to have a carb binge or a carby day and then step on the scales the next day, you're naturally going to weigh more with water, with fluid in your cells. It's not fat. It is just literally just, that's why you might feel a bit puffy. So that, and a lot of people will then take that extra few pounds as fat gain and then tend to lose motivation.
Yeah.
And that's, then that you've got the whole other topic of having to be motivated to lose weight. And that's not the case, because motivation isn't there all the time for anyone. You know, even your top tier athletes aren't motivated day in, day out, but they are dedicated and they are disciplined and they always go back to the mindset work to get them going. And that's why we shouldn't rely on motivation to do the actions. That's again why habit-based coaching is so important, because if you can then just do the steps, then you're just, you don't need the motivation because you've just got the behaviors.
So tell me, before we go into number two, habit-based coaching sounds really interesting to me. What is habit-based coaching?
So it's the principle of doing little things, like doing little things. You're not going to get a big result that day or even that week, but doing a little thing every single day is going to add up to big results over time. And there's a really good book, Atomic Habits, is a really good book for this one.
Yeah,
we talk about it a lot in the coaching space. But, you know, if I had, right, say if I said to you, right, Laura, we're not going to do anything with calories. We're not going to do anything with exercise, but I want you to drink 2 liters of water every single day. And I want you to get 10,000 steps in every single day, right? You'll go, that's too easy. That can't work. But what will happen is, A, you'll start feeling more energized from the water, because dehydration has an impact on your mental and your physical performance. So you'll not be dehydrated. So you'll feel better. You'll be walking through exercise. Now, walking, from a fat loss point of view, you walking consistently, say like between 8 and 12,000 steps every day, you're going to burn more calories doing that than sitting on your arse all day and doing 3 exercise sessions in a week.
Okay.
So you're going to have, you know, you're going to create a bigger calorie deficit potentially, depending on what you're doing with your food. But because you've got your higher performance, because you've got more energy, because you're seeing results and you're like having better sleep, you're getting up easier, you're feeling a bit like, oh, you're getting that kind of like, ooh, va va voom, I can do a little bit more. So then we add in something else for a week that's, you go, no, that's really easy. But again, that is building into your results. And then we do something else for a week and we're just layering things on top of each other.
Nice. So that,
like I had a one-to-one call with one of my clients today, and she's like 8 weeks into a 10-week coaching program, and she was just like, this, at no point have I actually felt like I'm on a diet or anything like that, because I've not had to say no to anything, you know, and I've got more energy. And like, she's getting ab definition, for Christ's sake. Like, you know, it's just a really powerful way of coaching, instead of just saying, right, you must go to the gym 5 days a week and you must eat 1500 calories.
Yeah. And I suppose if you're doing that habit stacking, it's actually a good way of lifestyle change rather than just like that quick fix. Yeah. And then so you're actually building up to changing how somebody's living their habits.
Absolutely. And I think the thing is as well, like a lot of people look at what I do and the way that I do things as being boring, because it's not particularly clickbaity. It's like, it is really effective and it's proven to work. We know that the only way of getting sustained long-term change is by changing our subconscious behaviors, and you can only do that through, you know, habit change. But when you say, well, what we're going to do is we're going to do, you know, all of these different things, you're going to do something new every week, and yes, depending on the person, we might get you, you know, tracking your calories, and we will get you in the gym, we will get you doing strength training, they're like, but where's the magic wand? You're like, that is the magic wand. Like,
yeah,
that these are the steps that you can take. And we have a kind of expectation now, I think, and I don't know whether this comes just from, you know, diet culture, is that it can only be effective if it's really, really hard. And we must feel like we're doing it. I'm really on it. And I'm going to get results. And that's the surefire way of not getting results, because when you're really, really on it, at some point you have to be off it.
Yeah.
And that's when the mindset funks happen, where you go, well, I can't sustain that, so I've failed. I failed. When in actual fact, you've not failed. It's just the approach just doesn't work long term.
Yes, this sounds very, very good. And I am already tomorrow going to be starting my 2 liters and 10K. Okay.
Yeah, I'm proud of you already.
Oh, thank you. So next thing, and we're gonna go back, look back round to the quick fix thing, the magic wand that we spoke about, because I see that popping up as well. Okay, the second most frequent thing, how do I lose belly fat? I think this is quite a common thing. I know that's my biggest gripe in my own body as well. So
a bit of background on belly fat. So all fat, all body fat is, we all have body fat, and we all need belly fat. We all need body fat, right? And we ultimately do need belly fat because it protects our sexual organs and our ovaries and whatnot. However, belly fat tends to increase as we get older, and that's because of the hormone changes. Now, as we get older, estrogen, progesterone just start going nuts. But that changes how and where our bodies store fat. So if you've gone through all your 20s and you're up to your mid-30s, you know, quite neat about the waist, not really worrying about that kind of podgy bit or anything like that, and then you hit 30 and you're just like, oh, where's this come from? And you know, in your 40s, like, oh, where's this come from? And you might notice it more, like you've got the belly area, the side of the thighs quite common, and also kind of bingo wings area as well, down the back of the triceps. These tend to be where fat starts to store more. So it is normal behavior of your body. That's just what it does. But you can change it, right? Now, the bad thing about belly fat, and this is where I wish I had my magic wand, is that there is no way of spot reducing fat from specific areas of the body.
Does spot reducing mean, just for anyone?
We can't say, I see that fat in my belly, I love my arms, I love my legs, but I hate my belly, so I just want to lose fat from my belly, right? That's not going to happen, unless that's what your fat loss does. So basically, fat is going to come off your body wherever the hell it wants and from what area it wants. So you might notice, like if I'm losing body fat, I will notice it here, and I'll notice it here. And I'll kind of notice it in my arms as well, tops my shoulders. But I will never notice it in my thighs. Never in a million years. They are going to be big, bad boys forever, right? So we can't decide where we're going to lose fat from. But we will lose body fat by being in a calorie deficit. So that is the number one principle. If you want to lose fat from your belly, you need to be in a calorie deficit. And you need to have patience.
Can you explain, just in case, can you explain what a calorie deficit is?
So calorie, the energy balance, shall we say. Calories in, a calorie is a unit of energy, right? So when you eat food, you're putting energy into your body. And when you breathe, move, exercise, fidget, garden, anything, you're expending energy. So you're expending calories, i.e. burning calories. That's where that comes from. If you bring in more calories than you are spending, then you're moving or breathing, whatever, that excess energy, i.e. calories, turns into body fat.
Mm-hmm.
If you expend more calories than you're consuming, it gets burned off. Body fat gets burned off. So that's all that is. Now, the easiest way to create that calorie deficit, there's a really common misconception that the easiest way to create a bigger deficit is to exercise more. And that's not the case. You can create a better deficit by the quality and the quantity of your nutrition.
Mm.
Yeah. So this is getting nerdy, right?
For
nerdy, right?
Love
so it. This energy expenditure, so when we burn calories, if you think about it, like, I don't even have my picture handy, but say, imagine a bar chart, a big bar. This is your calorie expenditure. About 80% of that calorie expenditure is your metabolism. It's just you, the energy your body needs for sleeping, resting, you know, just like being alive. And the other 20%, I think it might be a little bit less than 80, but the other 20% is the energy that is burned by eating and the energy that is used by exercising and the energy that is used by just moving, right? So the energy used by formal exercise is only about 5%. So that's why exercising more isn't actually the best way of creating a calorie deficit, because it's you're only ever using about 5% of your overall expenditure through exercise. Steps is more. That's why for a fat loss client, one of our priorities is to get them just walking more, because that makes up more of their calorie burn. Does that make sense?
That was a bit of a mic drop moment for me there, I have to say, because I suppose I've always just lived on the belief that, yeah, for the calorie deficit thing, you need to move more focus on the movement than what's going in here. So that's like really good information to have.
So here's a little analogy that fried my head at first, right? So have you heard of MetaFit? MetaFit, it was a high intensity 30 minutes, like bonkers class, like loads of burpees and woohoo, rah, 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 right? So I used to teach that years ago, and it always used to claim that this class, you'll burn 500 calories in this class, right? Which is utter crock of shit, right? You're not going to burn 500 calories. You would if you were like doing burpees for the full 30 minutes, really high intensity. But so I worked out that roughly it was about, and because you're only actually moving for about 10 minutes of that full class. So I worked out in a class, you're actually probably only burning about 150 calories. Well, I was, depends on your size and on age and all the rest of it, right? So I wasn't even using, burning the amount of calories in that class as what I could find in a packet of cheese and onion crisps. And that blew my head. I was like that, right, well, it's easier for me to just get a couple of packets of crisps than it is for me to go and knock my pan in doing this exercise. And I love cheese and onion, golden wonder. absolutely fun. So that's the misconception, is that exercise is the one thing you need to do more of to lose weight. And one of my missions is to turn that around and go, well, exercise is actually the number one thing that you need to do that's going to help your bones get strong and your muscle mass increase, so that when you're 80 and you fall over in that crack in the pavement, you can get yourself back up, pick up your shopping and march up your stairs.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to having to wait for somebody to come and get you. That's absolutely what exercise is.
So vitally important still, but in relation to...
Not in that, the fat
in that zone.
Yeah, so the belly fat, mm-hmm. looking back to the belly fat, it will come off, but that's why we have to employ a little bit more consistency, which is where the progress, not perfection, comes in. Because if you can be perfect for 2 weeks, but then you go back to normal, it's never going to go away. But if you can be a little bit better every single day for 6 months, then it will come off.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And that book, Atomic Habits, like you'd mentioned earlier on, I've read it as well. It's so good as well. And talks about, like you say, the small changes. Because if you do the small changes over the course of a year, the difference in that year can be actually monumental, but it's only small, so you don't see it.
You don't feel like it's an effort. And I think that's also one of the mindset things, that when you're working with like the women that I work with, like one-to-one women, they cannot get their head around the fact that they're like, no, but I need to be doing more. Like that, no, you're doing enough. Like your company's making millions and like you've got three kids and you're doing enough. But if you can do all these small things and do them really well, then the results are happening.
Yes, I love it. It just seems so manageable and such a nice way of making a change.
And it's lifestyle. I talk about lifestyle a lot. Mm-hmm. And you can't have a fun, vibrant lifestyle if you're only eating leaves and dust. And, you know, one thing that always sticks in my head, like I was getting an ice cream with my little boy and there was a woman in front of me saying, no, mummy can't have that. She's on a diet. And I was like, I don't want anyone to ever have to say that ever. Like, mummy can't have fun with you. And you know, it's like, this is another part of the thing about, you know, what are we teaching our children about food and our bodies with this culture of quick fix and strict dieting and all or nothing? You know, that's another thing that's, you know, quite worrying.
Yes, definitely. So I mean, this, we might actually cover this in the next, but you wouldn't be coming at clients and, you know, saying to them, don't have the ice cream or don't have the wine. It's not about the deprivation, it's just more about what would be like. So
we kind of treat it in a different way. So you're not going to get, no one's going to get results by doing what they currently do. So somebody's drinking like 2-3 bottles of wine a week, or they're eating a massive big cream cake every single day, right? The results probably aren't going to come. And that's where we have to start thinking about, right, okay, sacrifice would be, I'm never having them again, mm-hmm. in exchange for being leaner. Compromise is, actually, if I can have a bottle and a half of wine a week and maybe one cream cake at the weekend, that's compromise, because I can pick and choose my events and my occasions in which I do that. And we start making the commitment to ourselves that when I'm having that wine, I'm going to enjoy it. I might spend an extra couple of pounds on a nicer bottle, and I'm really going to relish it and I'm really going to enjoy it. And when I go to get my cream cake, I'm not going to go to Greg's. I'm going to go to Tantrum Donuts, which are the best donuts in Glasgow. Absolute top notch. I love them so much. Creme brulee is my personal favourite, if anybody ever wants to give me one. But, you know, I'm going to go to Tantrum Donuts and have a really nice artisan hipster donut, and I am gonna like lick the paper when I'm done. Like, so it's like starting to treat your nutrition as a compromise rather than a sacrifice. So you're never cutting out anything, because again, the minute you start cutting things out, you start craving them, and I really want it, I really want it, I really want it. And then wait, there's no one person in the world can crash out their cravings. You know, if you start craving something, you're gonna succumb to it at some point. It's just a matter of time. But the minute you succumb, you start the guilt process. You're like, oh, I balls that again, can't do this, I'm rubbish, I've failed, da, da, da. And that negative self-talk, then it just keeps looping back around, and before you know it, you've lost all self-esteem about your ability to control yourself, and then that feeds into other areas. So that sounds quite extreme, but that's what happens.
See, to be honest with you, Emma, that sounds like me. Like, you've literally just described my experience with my diet and foods. Like, that is exactly how it, and the talk, you know, you've done it again, and then I'm just ordering an Indian, or, you know, like, yeah. So that is something that I completely relate to. So, okay. So next question. This was another frequent one. So you want to be healthier. Ladies want to be healthier, not just lose weight. So if you're looking at it from like a holistic perspective, what would be tips and thoughts on
So actually, this is quite a big topic, and it's actually quite a common topic just now, but there's a little bit of an undercurrent just now, and I've had quite a few private messages from women about this, about how they feel ashamed to admit that they want to lose weight, which is quite interesting because obviously we're going through a cultural shift with losing weight just now, and body acceptance, and I think we'll just call it body acceptance, and we should absolutely have confidence in who we are and what we look like and how we feel, and we're not taken away from that at all. But it's now getting to the point, I had a lady who's an ex-client now, and she wanted to lose weight because her couple of close family members had breast cancer, and excess body fat, it can be one of the things that can be a trigger for some cancers. So she's like, up until now, I wasn't really ever that bothered about losing weight, but I need to lose weight. But now I feel ashamed to admit that I need to lose weight because of the backlash that I'm facing from people. So I thought that's just
interesting. Quite
an interesting undercurrent. Mm-hmm. And there is a bit, like, I've not seen the Barbie movie, and there's a bit of a monologue in there about how it's impossible to be a woman because you're not allowed to want to be skinny or something like that. You've got to be healthy, but not too healthy and not too skinny. And it is a bit of a head fuck, to be honest with you. But from a health point of view, this is how I think everybody should approach their lives, is looking at how can I be healthier? And if fat loss is a byproduct of that, and that's a goal that you've got, then yeah, go for your guns. But we should all be eating, you know, more fruit and veg. That is more water, getting outside more are the best things that you can do for your immediate physical health and your mental health. You know, every in NHS Scotland now, primary prescription for somebody presenting with depression is getting outside and exercising and eating better, because they transform your health. And you know, there's a reason why we recommend a minimum of 5 portions of fruit and veg, is because the vitamins and minerals and nutrients that you get from that fuel your body. Your body needs them. Your body responds to them. And you'll notice yourself, say if you have a week of eating processed foods and takeaways and on the way, and you're just like, oh, I just feel unhealthy, like just squish and moody and maybe a bit emotional and feeling just like, oh, I'm so desperately unhappy about life, like and that is a byproduct of what we're putting into our bodies. So if the goal is long-term health, look at your fruit and veg intake, look at the quality of the food that you're eating, you know, 5 portions of fruit and veg a day, making sure that you're getting adequate protein, drinking the water, cutting back in the processed foods, getting outside walking, doing some kind of like load-bearing exercise for your joints and your muscles. You know, these are all really simple things that we have in our control. But again, going back to the whole quick fix mentality, people are like, I want the magic pill. What is the supplement that I can take? And the supplement you can take is food and exercise, which are all things that are within our control.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I know that we chatted about this when we were prepping for this live as well. We all want things now, don't we? It's a natural thing. It's that immediate gratification. And I think we want things now sooner more than ever, because we've got access to things right away, don't we? Like when you're searching the internet, like we're used to people messaging you back, like you've got all these things that are coming quickly.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, how can't there just be like this, you know, quick thing that I can do? And I've seen, we've even got some posts that, you know, people are wanting to find out about like a weight loss pills and different things in the GGC. And there's a rise of some pills and stuff after one of the celebrities, I think she's Jessica Simpson, I think she's been, somebody had said she'd use a weight loss pill. But we just don't allow things like that in the group because a lot of it's unregulated. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we've got a duty of care to the community, because if these things aren't healthy and they're, some of them are unregulated, we don't really want to encourage conversations which are more focused on that route rather than what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Like, I have bought fat burners before many years ago and didn't do anything for me, but they don't do anything for you. Is what tends to happen, it's more that placebo effect that you're like, you're taking it and you're like, right, well, I'm doing something, and then you reduce like your overall calorie intake and you're like, oh, I'm more motivated to exercise, and that's what gets the results rather than you know, this thing that you're taking. And I've seen quite a few I've commented quite a few posts about, you know, oh my god, I'm going on holiday and, you know, 6 weeks and I need to lose 2 stone, how do I do it? And, you know, if it were me, like, yeah, absolutely, ideally, like I always say, if you want to lose 2 dress sizes, you need 3 months, right? That's our kind of standard, what we see with our clients anyway. But if you don't have 3 months, here's what I would do. And it would be like, I would drink 3 liters of water every bloody day, and I would be eating more fruit and veg than I want, and I would just be eating just till I'm fit to burst, and I'd be having lean protein every single day, every single meal, and I'd be cutting out the processed foods, and I'd be body brushing, because let's not forget that the appearance, like your physical appearance, can be improved by how your skin is as well, so hence the water, body brushing, you know, all of these kind of, a bit of fake tan, like you can easily look like you've lost 2 dress sizes. You might not officially have lost 2 dress sizes, but you can make a good change in 6 weeks. But I would never ever in a gazillion years recommend anybody takes a fat loss supplement like that ever.
And that's coming from you knowing all the science and nutrition expert.
It's just, you know, for the most part, they tend to be really expensive and they don't do anything. Like some of them might make you feel hot because, you know, being warmer in theory is going to burn calories, but not enough to make a difference, really.
Okay.
They might give you the jitters because they're full of caffeine. If you like those jitters, great, but you can get them from a couple of cans of Monster, which I also don't recommend. And, you know, like, let's not forget there's a reason why nutrition, water, exercise, protein, sleep, managing stress is recommended by everyone. It's because that is the thing that works.
Yeah. Definitely. So that's really interesting. You said if someone was looking potentially to lose 2 dress sizes, so say you've got a holiday coming up or maybe next year or whatever, if you give yourself 3 months and you are drinking the water, you're doing the 10,000 steps, you're looking at your nutrition, then that's like really positive steps you're taking in the right direction.
Yeah. And the missing link for most people is up here, is mindset.
And that's something that you talk greatly on in your
that's
programs.
Probably my secret weapon, I would think. That's the bit most people don't tackle. And I always think, like, Eat Move Win is, yeah, it's the name of the business, yeah, it's my maiden name initials, but actually it's a methodology. And I always like refer to it as cogs, that if you're eating right and moving right and thinking right, it's all going to be seamless. But if one of them stops working or you don't work in one bit, it's just going to seize up and stop. And that's the difference, is having that, right, okay, let's look at, you know, what you're thinking, how you're thinking, what are the beliefs that you've held about your body all your life, what are the beliefs you've held about your food all your life. And, you know, think back to, like, you're quite a bit younger than me, you might have had this, but you need to eat all the food in your plate because there's starving children in Africa, right? How that sat with me all my life. So I would be eating food when I'm no longer hungry, when I no longer need it, just because that's what I was told when I was however old I was.
Yeah.
And that's a belief that, so I have essentially been overeating all my life because I've got some guilt over a famine in Ethiopia. And that's beliefs that we hold. And we all have hundreds of them, you know. One that sticks in my mind is that my granny saying to me, oh, you'll not always be skinny, hen, with the amount you eat. Those hollow legs aren't going to be hollow forever, you know. You're just going to have to watch yourself when you get older. So that put in the fear of God in me, going, what I have to stop eating. And like, as I said before, I love food, absolutely love it. So yeah, you know, there's all these things that we've all got simmering away underneath, and they might not all be at the forefront of our mind. You know what, one big thing is women come on the phone and talk to me and they're like, I've always had a problem with my weight, or my entire family I've had X, Y, and Z. And you're like, well, you know, you can change. Things can change. And it's like getting out of that kind of fixed way of thinking and going, well, actually, there's opportunity here. We can do things differently.
And it's anything's possible. I think I'm definitely going to be finding out more about your program. So before we get on to finding out more about what you've got to offer, Emma, let's have a wee, I'm going to take a wee quick look at the comments. Just
I was actually going to do that because I'm used to doing this in my own group. So I'm used to like dipping in. At one point I was like, I need to just check the comment. I'm like, no, this is not my group. I don't have to do that.
Well, we'll need to tell everybody about your group as well, because obviously that's a brilliant resource for ladies who are looking to... Okay, so I'm going to, I don't know if these are in the right order. Facebook's kind of changed their ordering of things.
Oh, it's been wild. Like sometimes you only get to see like three at a time.
Yes, I know. And yeah, as an as a fellow admin of groups, you might have been feeling as well, multiple posts in the panel, they don't approve. Like there's been hundreds of stuff going on recently.
I've had real issues with my Facebook app today and I can't comment on anything. It keeps going, needs to do it again, and then I keep defaulting to a business profile. And I'm like, oh dear.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just like, myself and the fellow GGC admin, we're just like, what's actually happening here? But anyway, we digress. Right, so Catherine Titone is saying she's Greek, they are feeders, and no one ever told her to stop eating as a child. If you didn't eat, you would offend the person. I think that's similar like around the globe, isn't it? Like, what do you not like your food? So that's definitely something.
That was definitely my granny as well. What do you mean you don't like this? And like, I don't know if anybody, well, most of you probably do have Scottish grannies. Like, it was carb overload. And when pasta started to become quite common and popular, she used to serve spaghetti bolognese with potatoes. Because in Ayrshire, you have to have potatoes.
Wow, that is,
and like, this is another, like, carbs are not bad, like carbs are not bad, let's not cut carbs because we need carbs, our bodies use carbs for fuel, so, but there is such a thing as like, that's not be a little bit too much.
There could be too much carbs, but everything in balance. And potato and pasta, I wonder how that would taste.
Macaroni and chips, like, that's a common Glasgow staple, isn't it?
The minute you fry something though, it goes with anything. So
that's a
definite mind.
I don't particularly love macaroni cheese, to be fair. I never have, but I love cheese. I do love pasta, but I just don't love macaroni cheese.
Neither do I. But do you know what I do love, which is probably one of the worst things you could potentially eat? Maybe not generalization. Cheesy pasta
from the packet. Well, that makes me feel sick.
I know, but I've just got, yeah.
What is your weirdest food combination?
Oh, I don't know. Like, that's a really good question. I think that like one of my kind of secret things that I really love, which sometimes I'll just eat at lunchtime and I know that I shouldn't, is like noodles, like in a buttery roll or sandwich. So like, what's the noodles, the common
like super noodles?
Super noodles
in a sandwich,
in a buttery sandwich.
Actually weird. Like my dad loves, you know, like mince and tatties. Also, I don't love mince and tatties, but my dad loves mince.
Yeah,
in a roll.
Oh, like a sloppy joe.
Well, I suppose that would be like the new age way of saying it, but I just like mince and tatties in a roll like that. That is foul.
Oh, I see. I'm more like a spaghetti, like a spag ball mince in a buttery roll. I think that's the sloppy joe, isn't it? I love it. But anyway, we're totally like, I mean, this is like, we're hitting all the
4 hours later.
No, we're hitting all the
I told you that I go off in tangents.
So I love it. I love it. Right. Okay. So Claire has said that she's done the ketone and nothing happened.
Yep.
And then what she's also said, Emma, it might be nerdy, but it proves that you know what you're talking about. Loving that chat.
Nerds. Love the nerd.
Catherine saying hers was bread, feta cheese and olive oil. What was, that sounds amazing. What was your combination? I'm just going to check the other.
One of my favourites and most random is ginger nut biscuits with cheese. Absolutely. See, like, and it has to be the rubbish cheddar, like the smart choice. cheddar and ginger nut biscuit. Oh my god, try it. Everyone try it. It's amazing.
No, like don't be trying anything else. I don't need. Right, okay. So let me see. I can get the comments better on my phone. Hopefully.
Marion, we're all enough. I think. I can't see.
Oh yes, Marion, I'm 57. We're all enough. Be kind and compassionate to yourself and learn to eat real food. Cut the process. Yeah. You're all beautiful. That's lovely.
And that is lovely as well. And part of the whole mindset work is self-acceptance, self-love, and confidence, regardless of what you look like. Because we can all make changes to how we feel without even dropping a single pound in the scales. That bit doesn't matter. It's the inner work. You know, we get a lot of people like, I want to lose weight because I want to feel more confident. You'll lose weight, but unless you do the inner work, you're not going to feel more confident. And that is part of the process of the self-love and I am enough and learning about your positive bits and your good bits and recognizing that you're not perfect. You might have bits that you don't particularly love, but they're still you.
Yeah.
We still have to celebrate them.
And also confidence, it isn't just something that you've got and then it never goes. And it is a constant. You have to constantly do the inner work.
Learned, confidence is a learned behavior. Like everything, you can learn to be confident. It's like learning a language. You have to practice and practice. Do the reps. You know, if you want to build a juicy ass, you're going to have to do hip thrusters. If you want to have self-confidence and self-esteem, you're going to have to do the mental reps.
Yeah.
You know, just the same. That's how our brains change in the same way that our muscles change. You have to practice and change, create new little neural pathways that determine our new processes.
Oh, we're getting even nerdier. We're going deeper, ladies. Loving it. Okay. Catherine says, I've upped my walking big time and I've noticed how much fitter and toner I am. I've maintained my weight just from walking. So that's a brilliant agreement of what you were saying. Clara is saying down with the quick fixes.
Go, Clara.
That's it. We love Clara. Okay, so I think we've worked our way through some of those. Do you know, kind of like what you said, about self-acceptance, and I, like you had mentioned earlier on about your thighs have always been something for me, just the shape of my legs, like I've always got thigh chaff, I've always got, like, going on holidays a nightmare unless I'm wearing cycle shorts, like all the usual stuff. And I've always, like, you know, that way when you do look at the magazines, and now it's no longer magazines, now it's like edited photos on Instagram, and people are talking about things like the thigh gap and all that, and you're like, my mom said something which was really amazing to me when I was a wee bit younger, and she was like, Laura, stop obsessing over your legs, because those things will take you all around the world, like how they look, because those things are what you know, if you're lucky enough to be able to have that movement, then, and I thought, wow, you're a wisdomous woman, so you are.
I know, it's funny, isn't it? Like, I remember, like, Bridget Jones, and it was this whole concept of thighs like a baby giraffe. And that's always stuck with me, that I've always said, oh, I want thighs like a baby giraffe, which is grand. But at the time, I was a sprinter. Like, if I had thighs like a baby giraffe, I couldn't run around a 200-meter track super fast. I couldn't wear a Scotland shirt and, like, do a 100-meter sprint. I wouldn't be able to squat the weight that I do now. I would maybe not burst out skinny jeans as much right now. But it's about finding what works for you. Mm-hmm. And there's certain fashions over the years that didn't and wouldn't ever work. Like that whole heroin chic with the baby doll dresses. Like, I just look like a rugby player, I think, in them. But it's about finding what works for you and finding your confidence and the clothes that, you know you look good in, and that automatically gives you that kind of like, I look good. You know, I call it tits and teeth. People just, you know, it's like shoulders back, boobs out, and you're giving it a big cheeser. Yeah. And that's when you look your best, is when you look confident and comfortable in your own skin.
Yes, I love that. And what a way to end then, Emma.
Tits and teeth, ladies, tits and teeth.
So how can ladies connect with you, find out about your programs? I'd love it if you could share your contact details and the link to your free group underneath this as well.
I've got so much. Right, so I've got a podcast.
Yes.
Eat, Move, Win, and the Musings of a Bullshy Queenager. Laura's episode is, I think you might be next week. Check that. I love it, absolutely love it, because hopefully you'll get from tonight that I'm super passionate about this stuff, and I love talking, and I love talking to people, and I love people talking to me. I've got a free group, it's called Wild, and it's, I can't remember the next word, it's called Wild something something transformation for over 40s. Yep. I have What's the Best Thing to Share With You Just Now. Right, so for the next 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks, to the 12th of August, which is my birthday, I am operating an early bird waitlist for my next group coaching, which starts in September, and it's called the Hot Body Project. So it's kind of a bit of a play on words with, you know, hot, whatever is hot for you, but also that whole hot flushies type thing that people would be experiencing. And if you get on the early bird list before the 12th of August, you'll get £200 off it when we open enrollment. So that's a really good, I've never done that before, and that's going really well. So get yourself on that. It's not, you're not committing to it at this stage. It's just a, just give me the voucher.
Yeah.
And what else? Oh my God. I've got a membership called the Smart Girls Gathering. I do one-to-one coaching, group coaching that I've talked about there, and a podcast. I'll put all the links below.
Please put all the links below.
And I've got a website as well, which is like, oh, I love my website, teamemw.com.
Nice, I love it. And as a member of your group, I highly recommend it. Ladies, if anyone's just looking to get that wee bit closer to Emma in the first instance, I would definitely recommend joining that group, because
come for a wee cuddle.
You do. You're a teacher, and you go about it in such a lovely way as well, which is really good when people are on the journey for health and wellness. So thank you so much for talking to us tonight, Emma.
Thank you, everyone. It's been lovely. Yeah. So if anybody does have any questions, always tag me in the group. You know, I'm in the group quite a lot, and I do answer quite a lot of questions. But if you do have anything for me, you can just get in touch.
Yes, absolutely. And I will pin this to the top of the group. And if anyone's watching the replay, ladies, please do put replay so that it bumps it back up so that more ladies can see it if they are
looking to see it as well. Beat the algorithm.
Beat that algorithm. Oh my goodness. Absolutely.
I feel like I say that about 15 times a day. Right, everybody, please put a comment so we can beat the algorithm.
I know. It's a battle, but we will get there. So thank you so much for your time. Thank you to anyone that's watching, and we will see you soon. I'm going to stop this live. Bye.
Bye-bye.